Hello again, Stuart and Judy here. It's good to welcome you online, those from the church family and those from further afield who are listening in. So before we start this time of worship, let's commend it to God in prayer. Let us pray. Father, sometimes we forget that you are with us in all times and in all places, and we pray that you would make yourself present to each of us as we listen online, that you would speak to us, that you would minister to our needs, that by hearing your word and by the prayers that we participate in, that you would minister to deep places in our souls. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Judy's going to do the reading for us, which is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 24 to 30. And then 36 to 43. So the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, starting at verse 24.
It's titled The Parable of the Weeds. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, and then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you're pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. And the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let them hear."
Thank you, Jody. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And we pray that by your Spirit you'll give us wisdom as we interpret and apply this parable and see what it means to us in our own context, in our own lives today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This week, Jody and I were pulling up weeds in our garden, ground elder to be precise. It had gotten a bit out of hand, but with the benefits of weed killer and manual labour, we managed to make a good dent in it for now. The method that Jesus uses in this parable is not used as an example for how we should do weeding in our own gardens. We can't just think, "Oh, it's okay, just let the weeds grow till harvest and then we'll pull them up," which may be tempting. But this passage, this story, this parable is here to teach us and to teach the people of Jesus' day about God's kingdom and how it grows. The weeds in the story were called darnel. And there's a good explanation about darnel in the commentary by William Barclay. He says, "They were a weed called bearded darnel. In their early stages, the tares so closely resembled the wheat that it was impossible to distinguish the one from the other. When both had produced seed heads, it was easy to distinguish them but by that time their roots were so intertwined that the tares could not be weeded out without tearing the wheat out with them. So that gives you a good idea that to begin with, you couldn't tell the difference between the two. And by the time you could tell the difference, if you tried to pull up one, then you would pull up the other as well. So this tells us that only God can sift out the good and the bad, both in our own lives and with people in general. We are not to judge people. We are to leave that to God. St. Augustine, the church father, said, "How many sheep there are without, and how many wolves within." He was talking about the church, that there are people outside the visible church who are really members of the church, and there are those who are inside who are not really members. So there's lots of surprises. Only God knows who are his own in that sense. And we shouldn't be quick to judge where people are at with God. And I'm sure at the end, when all is unveiled, there will be lots of surprises in heaven, in the kingdom of God, in all its fullness. The disciples asked, where did the weeds come from? And in verse 25, it says, while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So there was an enemy involved in this. And who is this enemy? In verse 39, it says, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are the angels. So the enemy can sow weeds in our lives. We are in the midst of a battle, and weeds of hatred, resentment, despair, and hopelessness can be sown in our lives by our enemy, by the devil. Who in these months has not felt hopeless or despairing about the situation that we find ourselves in? We can find ourselves asking, when will this end? When will things get back to normal? When can we go back to church? And we have the weeds of worry. And the devil can give us a runaround if we're not careful by sowing these seeds, these weeds in our lives at an individual level. Weeds of doubt and worry, weeds of despair and hopelessness. And then we can think of the weeds in a wider sense, in the societal weeds that we have in recent weeks. The weeds and systematic weeds of racism has been brought to our consciousness by the death of George Floyd in the United States, by the reaction to issues of slavery and empire and colonialism with tearing down the statue in Bristol. It brings all these issues to the surface. I've been reading a book in my book group called We Need to Talk About Race, and it's written by a Baptist minister called Ben Lindsay, who's a black pastor, but in a white majority church, and how he tries to engage with the issues of racism and asks, how can white people be allies in the struggle against racism? And that's quite a difficult question for us in a congregation which is almost entirely white in that sense. But how do we relate to those who are newcomers, who come from different cultures? And it does raise issues for us. And other weeds of poverty and inequality. During this pandemic, we've seen the rise in the use of food banks and people needing to get emergency help. We've seen the rise of people going on to universal credit and unemployment as people are made redundant, as the furlough scheme comes to an end. And we know that unemployment is rising, and we will face issues of mass unemployment in the coming weeks and months and years. And how do we respond to people in that situation, to the most vulnerable? Do we just let them go to the wall, or do we support them and give them the help and support that they need? How do we respond to this as a society, as individuals, and as a church? And then there's the weeds that have grown up in the way that we treat God's creation. We think of the weed of climate change and how That has come to the fore. And during this time, perhaps we've been consuming less, flying less, driving less, and it brings those issues about what we do and how the impact we have on God's creation. We all need to take that seriously. I've tried to cycle more recently and use the car less to have a small effect on how we tread lightly upon God's earth. Going back to the issue and interpretation of this passage of weeds, and it talks about some people being like weeds. And I think this can be problematic if we view people like weeds, because weeds are worthless. You can pull them up and throw them in the bin. And every human being is of infinite value in God's eyes. And only God knows the good seed from the bad. And it's not up to us to judge where people are at in their relationship with God. And we can be too quick to pull up the weeds. We're not to take God's judgment into our own hands. That's where Islamic jihadists get it wrong. They feel that they've got to bring God's justice to bear by taking up arms and using bombs to bring God's vengeance on the people, and that they are the instruments of that vengeance. But it's easy to sort of point the finger at Islamic extremists, because historically the church and Christians, we have had our holy wars and our crusades. And even today, the language we use on social media against people who disagree with us in our theology or our politics can be very aggressive and violent. And people who call themselves Christians, the way they talk about other human beings, treating them like weeds, is sub-Christian and sub-human. This passage has its problematic and difficult elements as well. We don't often like ideas of judgment, but these ideas are clearly here in verse 40, where it says, "As the weeds are pulled out and burned in the fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin, and all who do evil. They will be thrown into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And as Ian Paisley used to say, those who have no teeth, teeth will be provided. But joking aside, it is serious, because in the end, God will weed out everything that causes sin and all who do evil. That God's kingdom, in God's kingdom, in God's glory, in all its fullness, there is no place for evil. And then we have the imagery in verse 42 of a blazing furnace, a blazing fire. Now, I have problems with the idea of hell as a place of eternal, conscious torment. I think that would be disproportionate if people suffer for eternity. I probably think that there's non-existence, or people lose out in the opportunity of enjoying God's presence for all eternity. But however you view that, and people have different views on that, evil will be destroyed and God's kingdom will be fully established, and there will be no place for evil in God's kingdom. So we need to be reminded that we don't go around judging whether someone is inside or outside the kingdom. Leave that to God and get your own garden into order, which is an activity which never comes to an end. As likewise our real gardens, weeds keep sprouting up in our lives. And we need the weed killer of Christ's risen life in us to put to death our old sinful self. As Paul writes in Romans 6, starting at verse 6. "For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. So Christ's risen life in us puts to death our sinful self and the weeds that grow up in our lives. So this is a continual struggle and process in our lives, and it will never be fully realized until God's kingdom comes in all its fullness. But in summary, God is the judge. He knows people's hearts. He knows where they are at with him. It's not for us to say who is in, who is out, who is a Christian, who is not. And God is a God of justice and mercy, and we can entrust people into his merciful judgment in the end. It's not for us to say who is going to heaven, who is going to hell. That is God's job, and thank goodness for that. Let us pray. Forgive us, Lord, when we judge other people, when we think we know where they are in relationship to you. We can't see into their souls. We don't know how they have responded or resisted to your grace, which reaches out to each human being in different forms and ways unknown to us. But help us to keep our own lives in order, to be self-critical about how we are responding to your love and your grace in our lives. And Lord, we know that our own lives are a mixture of weeds and good wheat, and that it grows up together. But you ultimately will be the one who harvests the good from our lives and gets rid of the evil at the end when we are brought into your presence. So we look forward to that fiery pruning and harvesting when our lives will be transformed and we are brought into your presence. And we trust in your ultimate goodness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now Meryl, one of our deacons, is going to lead us in some prayers of intercession.
Let us pray. Father, as we come to bring others to you now, it's easy to be overwhelmed by the needs of the world at this time of the COVID pandemic. But we thank you that you are not overwhelmed by the pandemic or any other situation. Remind us of what a loving and faithful God you are. You hear our prayers. You tell us to call to you and promise to answer. You are the one who promises to give strength to the weary, power to the weak, comfort to those who mourn. You love us so much that you catch the tears of those who weep, and you hold the hand of the fearful. You have promised to be with us in all things. Now, Lord, we want to bring to you those who are on our own hearts at this moment, those who need to know the reality of your promises in their lives right now. As we pray, there will be a pause so that you can name those you want to pray for in your heart or out loud. Father, we pray for all those we know are weeping. We thank you that even if they weep alone, you are there with them. You know their pain. We ask you to hold them in their sadness and to comfort and restore them. We pray for those who are fearful at this time, perhaps worrying of their health, their jobs, their future, their personal safety, their family, or the world and all that's happening around. take their hand and walk with them through this time. May they recognize your presence and fill them with your peace. Calm their fears. Father, we bring to you those we know who mourn. Bring your comfort to their hearts and strengthen and sustain them through their time of grieving. Restore to them peace. Father, we bring to you those we know who are unwell at this time, whether physically or mentally, those receiving treatment or awaiting hospital appointments. You are the God who heals, and we pray for your healing in their lives, and for your comfort for them, and for those who walk through with them at this difficult time. Bring them the peace and courage as they need it. Father, we pray for those we know who are feeling weary, perhaps from the pressures of work or caring, from the expectations put upon them, weary of injustice or just weary of life. Give them rest and then lift them up refreshed. Help them to manage the things they need to do and give them the strength to face what's ahead. Father, we pray for the weak and the poor, for those who feel they have no hope and are trapped in their circumstances. We ask you to intervene and raise up and rescue the poor and the weak. May they be treated with justice and fairness. Father, we thank you for hearing our prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Meryl, for your prayers. And thank you for joining us for this time of worship. I'll close with a blessing. May the love of the Father enfold us, the wisdom of the Son enlighten us, the fire of the Spirit inflame us, and may the blessing of God rest upon us and abide with us now and evermore. Amen. Thank you for joining us this week, and may God's blessing and peace be upon you and your household until we meet again. Go well, and God bless.